Good evening and welcome to The Strong Side with your host Clark Ramsey, 704 on your FM dial on Sports Talk Radio 102.1 FM, a portion of WLEW Sports. Clark Ramsey with you here for the next hour. We're going to have a few guests over the next course of the hour. Dave Hansen is on his way into the studio as we speak, as we are broadcasting from our East Campus here at the Clark Ramsey Manor in Harbor Beach. Over the next course of the hour, we will discuss all area games. We've had a great and a surprising week number two in the regular season here, as some big surprises, some closer games than expected, and a lot of lightning in between. That's all coming up on The Strong Side, left side or right side. You're listening to The Strong Side on Sports Talk Radio 102.1 FM.
It's Chevy Truck Month at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring. Drive to the shore and save more on a new 2014 or 2015 Chevy truck.
Hi, this is Rod Teese from Moore Shoreline in Sebring, wanting to tell you that leasing has never been better than now. And get a 2015 Silverado heavy-duty crew cab 4x4 LT. Leather spray and bed liner, all-terrain tires, 6.0 V8 Vortec motor, heated seats, navigation, zero down, 36 months, 15,000 miles per year. For everyone, the price is $429 per month, and for gym employer family members, $397.
At Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring, where you'll find your new truck and find new roads. What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks, or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig-out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
It's Owendale's new social hub, the Owendale Pub. And owner Kevin McGeechee invites you to stop in for lunch or a snack and introduce yourself. The Owendale Pub is already gaining a reputation as the place for great burgers, sandwiches, paninis, and wraps. Most, including the basic $1.50 hot dog, are served with fries and a pickle spear. So go ahead, do yourself a favor, and check out the OP, the Owendale Pub, home of good friends and good times, across from Stack's Market, in the heart of Owendale.
It's Chevy Truck Month at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring. Drive to the shore and save more on a new 2014 or 2015 Chevy truck.
This is Jay Maynard. Just here to let you know we have another great lease on a 2014 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 LT. It's got leather, sprayed-in bed liner, 20-inch wheels, all-terrain tires, auto-temperature dual-zone air, heated seats, trailer brake, custom sport package, power seat, rear camera, Bose system. $439 a month for everyone, $397 per month for GM employees and family members. Come see me, Jay Maynard, and let's make a deal.
Find your new truck and find new roads at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring.
You're listening to Sports Talk Radio on 102.1 FM. Clark Ramsey here with you on the course of the next hour. We've finished up week number two of the regular season. It is 7 weeks away from the playoffs. 2 weeks are under our belt. It is past Labor Day. It starts to feel like fall. The humidity is finally dropping. And here we are entering into week number three, and after this next week, we are a third done with the regular season. We've had quite some insights as so far throughout the season. This past week on WLW Sports, Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen, we got back into the booth for the first time of the season, and we were honored to see the USA Patriots take on the Ugly Bearcats at USA, and it was one for the books indeed. It went down to the, we should say, it came down to the very end, except it was a little bit lopsided on the Ugly Bearcats side. It's good to see the Ugly Bearcats get back on track with their first victory of the year. And now we're going to take a listen in to a recap, a 7-minute recap of what that game sounded like on WLEW Sports. In the words of Andy Williams, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's football season in the Thumb of Michigan, and we are in for a treat tonight. Much like Columbus, the Ugly Bearcats head west for the land of freedom and take on the USA Patriots. Both teams in their huddle, 7:25 left in the first quarter, 0-0. Ugly on their first drive of the night as USA deferred and elected to kick off to start this half. As Ugly is knocking on the door at the 4-yard line. Three men in the backfield in the T formation, Jeffrey Wright under center. There's the snap, and he's going to hand it off to his third man, number 23, Derek Welton.
Touchdown.
And touchdown, Ugly. Roman Welton in for the score. The 5'8", 145 junior knocks it in, his first score of the year, and Ugly is on the board first, 6-0 Bearcats. 6:58 in the first quarter, Ugly's on the board, and they're going for two here in the same formation. Wright gets the snap. Hands it off to Welton yet again. He's working his way, and he gets inside the end, and he's in for the score. The two-point conversion is good, and it is Ugly 8, USA nothing, with 6:58 left in the first on the WLAW Sports Network. 7-yard gain on that one for Aaron Sines. He has 16 yards on the night on 3 carries. He leads the USA offense with 20 on a total of 21 yards on offense. 4th and 12, they bring out the punt team, which similarly looks like their offensive defensive unit as well. Lowe's punt from Ryan Miller-wise, but he gets it off as well, and it bounces at the 10, and this one's going to take a bounce out of bounds at the 2-yard line.
Maybe inside the 2, Clark. Maybe to the 1.
A 38-yard punt when 39 was too much. And number 20, Ryan Miller-wise, the senior, puts this one in and pins Ugly as far back as possible for the offensive attack of the Ugly Bearcats on 1st and goal from the 8-yard line. And the quarterback, Wright, has it. He's out to the 5. And he tries to dive it in. Does he get it? Yes, he does. First touchdown, Ugly. But just as he's about to cross the end zone, it is going to be a flag flies in the backfield, and it's going to be a hold against Ugly. So don't even look at that. Don't even look at that touchdown. Here we are, and instead of a touchdown, we're looking at a 1st and goal from the 18-yard line. 3rd and goal to go for the Ugly Bearcats here at their own, at the USA 5-yard line. It's a handoff to Welton, and he's in
no
standing
problem.
Up.
Touchdown.
Roman Welton untouched into the end zone for the 2nd score of the night for the Ugly Bearcats. They extend their lead out to 14-0 with 3:10 left before halftime. Jeff Wright under center, 3 men in the backfield, T formation for Ugly. Trying to make it 16-0. This one they hand off to Roman Welton again.
Why not?
And same play, same result. He's in for the 2-point conversion. It's now Ugly 16, USA nothing, with 3:10 before halftime on the WLW Sports Network. And with the kneel, we have reached halftime in week number 2 of the MHSA regular season. With the score of Ugly 16, USA 0 on the WLAW Sports Network. 9:15, 3rd quarter left, 16-0. USA trails with the ball. And it's a pitch out to Miller-Wise, and he's out for the running, has the first down. He's at the 40-yard line of Ugly territory. And finally brought down at the 38 by the quarterback of Ugly, Jeffrey Wright, brought him down, as well as number 30, Evan Blanc, in the tag team there. It's a 1st and 10 for the USA Patriots inside Bearcat territory. They're knocking on the door. 3rd and 14 now for USA as they come back to a little bit more conservative. Back into their wing offense, receiver wide to the right. That's Dominic Guardian. Wings on either side. And Miller-Wise in the backfield. Foley under center. Signs in motion. Looking to pass. Rolling to his right is Foley. Here comes the pressure. And he has to fold. And he's scrambling now back to the line of scrimmage. Still on his feet. Maybe has a yard to the 33. And he's going to get a yard after all said and done. And it's going to bring up 4th down, about 13 yards to go for USA. And just as they got some things rolling here, they stall out in this drive. And here, Ugly coming up with a stop. There's the snap, hands it off to Rosenthal. He's still on his feet. He breaks free of 2 arm tackles and is into the end zone for a touchdown, Ugly. The Bearcats now with 22 points. USA still scoreless, with 10:49 left in the 4th quarter. Man, the backfield fully under center. More than likely, it's going to be a QB sneak here. Nope. He turns around with a little bit of statue, literally a little bit, but fully keeps it for himself. Out to the 40-yard line, forward progress stops, and USA converts on 4th down. A nice-looking play there. Had the Ugly front confused, and Foley found the gap, got through for a 5-yard gain. 1st and 10, the USA drive stays alive with 8:45 left in the 4th. As it's 2nd and 6 now for USA at their own 44-yard line. Receiver wide each way. Signs in motion to the right. Foley back to pass. Stays in the pocket. Lets this one launch. He has room down there. Is he caught? It is tipped incomplete for For a second there, I thought Dominic Gardner brought that one at the 20-yard line, went to double coverage, and it falls incomplete. And now, third and six. Fourth and 17 for USA. Going for it, wing either way. One man in the backfield, Foley under center. Signs in motion to the right, back to pass. Foley has nowhere to go, rolls back to his left, lets this one, no, actually pump
gotta
fakes.
Let it fly.
And he gets brought down to the 36 after a gain of three. And that's going to be a turnover of downs back into the hands of the Ubley offense. And that T formation of Ubley will more than likely be able to scoop up and eat up the rest of the 6 minutes and 10 seconds. And they're going to hand it off to him again. He dives in for this one. He is in for the score. Touchdown, Rosenthal. And now it's 28-0. Ubley leading USA with 2:02 left in the fourth quarter. Ubley going for 2 points here. Trying to make this 30-0. Hand it off to Welton. Meets a slew of white and blue jerseys and somehow puts his back to him and goes backwards across the line.
Little mishandling there between quarterback Jeff Wright and Roman Welton. Did a nice job handling the ball anyways and backed his way in for yet his third two-point conversion of the game.
With 2:02 left in the fourth quarter, it's Ubley 30, USA nothing on the WLW Sports Network. Ubley takes the victory away from USA. Ubley gets their first victory of the year and going 1-1 now, and USA falls to 0-2. And that was the sounds of week number two of the MHSA season on WLEW Sports. The game of the week, Ubley traveling to USA. Ubley shuts out USA 30-0 to finish their second week and get their first victory on the season. As far as individual stats go for the Ubley Bearcats on that one, leading the rushing attack, Ubley's Derek Brown, number 20, the sophomore, 150 pounds, about 5'8". With 110 yards, the workhorse did not get a touchdown in that game, but he did every single thing otherwise on 17 carries. 6.4 yards per carry for Derek Brown. His long of the night was 24, and he was never stopped in the backfield. Also for the Ubley Bearcats with 58 yards was Roman Welton, and you heard his name twice there as well as a few extra two-point conversions. He had two touchdowns of the night, 58 yards on 14 carries, averaging 4.1 per carry. And Dominic Rosenthal, 12 carries, the fullback with 56 yards and the other two touchdowns on the night. Jeffrey Wright, the quarterback, keeps it for six times for 42 yards, only fumbled one on the snap. But Derek Brown was there to scoop that one up and resist the turnover to the USA Patriots. Like we said on Friday night, Ubley did not pass the ball a single time against the USA Patriots, and when you don't need to pass if you don't need to. Let's take a look at the Ubley defense on this one. Two tacklers led the tackling for the Ubley Bearcats. Dominic Rosenthal with six tackles, as well as Logan Lemke with six tackles. Scott Shepard had four tackles on the line, Jonathan Bisher with one, as well as one tackle for Freddie Pallas, Derek Brown, Evan Block, each with one, Brandon Sadro with two, Cole Mychek with three, Sawyer Messing with two, and Jeffrey Wright and Anthony Sweeney with two. The tackles for a loss, only one on the night for the Ubley Bearcats, and that was a loss of 5 yards for USA's offense, and that came in the hands of number 47, Dominic Rosenthal. Three sacks of the night, Dominic Rosenthal with one for 5 yards, Sawyer Messing with one for 5 yards, and Brandon Sadro with a third for 2 yards. Jeff Wright also got his hands on one pass and tipped that one incomplete. And only one personal foul for the Ubley defense, and that one came close to the very end of the game, still uncertain on what exactly that play was. As far as the Ubley offense goes, only two penalties for 15 yards, and looking across the rest of the way, this was a very clean game between the USA Patriots and the Ubley Bearcats. Let's take a look now at the USA Patriots here before taking quick break. 720 on your FM dial on Sports Radio 102.1. The USA Patriot offense was a little stagnant at times, saw glimmers of hope through the passing game. As far as the rushing game goes, only had 69 yards rushing the ball, 31 yards passing for exactly 100 yards of offense altogether compared to Ubley's 271, all coming from their rushing game. USA's rushing attack was led by number 20, Ryan Miller-Wise, with 28 yards off 4 carries. His long was 16 of the night. Tanner Foley, the quarterback, carried it for 10 times, 17 yards altogether, was caught in the backfield 3 times for those tackles for loss, and Aaron Sine, 6 carries for 27 yards. and Macklin Ghetto 4 carries for negative 3. USA came out in a majority between the T formation as well as the single wing with wings outside of the ends and then one man in the backfield with Foley under center. It worked well. They tried to go for the screen pass, which they saw success against Sandusky in week number 1 with that. Ubley read that quite well. They did have a few breaks downfield, which would have changed that entire game. As soon as Dave Hansen is in studio here, we'll be discussing that a little bit further here for you. As far as the passing game for Tanner Foley and the USA Patriots, 2 for 7 for 31 yards, and that was a 36-yard pass to Aaron Sines, and one went backwards for 5 yards on a screen pass to Dominic Guardian. Everything else was either incomplete or dropped or tipped. 7 yards passing for 31 yards altogether for the USA Patriots, 5 returns for 67 yards. So altogether, all-purpose yards, 36 plays for 167 yards, 5 penalties on offense, though, for the USA Patriot offense for 45 yards, 20 yards in holding, 10 yards in false starts, and 15 yards for a personal foul block in the back. 722 and a half on your FM dial on Sports Talk Radio 102.1. When we return, we will have Dave Hansen back in studio, and then sooner than later, we'll be discussing all the other area games. Keep it locked on the Strong Side on Sports Radio 102.1 FM.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
We don't know what's going on with our daughter. We're worried that she might be drinking or taking something else. My husband saw cans and bottles in the back of a friend's car, but we don't know how to talk to her about it. She's been keeping her life a big secret. I was uncomfortable when a friend asked me how our daughter's doing, so I pretended everything is okay. And realized that now I'm keeping secrets too. My therapist suggested we try Al-Anon family groups. I'm glad we took her advice. It helps to talk with people who understand what you're going through because they've gone through the same thing. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or visit alanonfamilygroups.org.
You're listening to Sports Talk Radio, The Strong Side on Sports Talk Radio 102.1 FM, a member of WLEW Sports. Clark Ramsey in studio here on the east side of the county tonight. Dave Hansen is on his way into the studio right now. In just a few minutes, we'll also be talking with the Harbor Beach head coach, Troy Schelke, in what was the most surprising score of the night. Harbor Beach defeated Vassar 55-0. Some were calling this the game of the year for Harbor Beach, their toughest opponent. And it was anything but that on a cold, wet, rainy, everything humid night down in Vassar, Michigan. We've been discussing the USA Ubley WLW Sports Game of the Week. We've taken a large look at that as well. Once Dave is here, we will take a closer look at that and get his thoughts as well. But let's start taking a look around the region here as well as the other area scores. Marlette and Bad Axe. This is one very surprising score. Marlette 34, Bad Axe 32, and each one was just taking punches at each other and throwing each other into the ropes the entire game. After the first quarter, Marlette was leading 12-6, but get this, how the game started for Bad Axe is Bad Axe's Tommy Morneau, the sophomore quarterback, or I should say the quarterback who can do it all. He does it on defense, he's special teams, he's everything for Bad Axe. He recovers a fumble on the first play of scrimmage and takes it back for a touchdown, and all of a sudden, Bad Axe is leading 6-0. Later in the first, Thomas of Marlette with an 11-yard run ties it up at 6-6. Two-point conversion is no good. Later in the first, Lentz with a pass to Thomas for Marlette, an 85-yard pass, looked like Oregon against Michigan State, takes the 6-point lead over Bad Axe in the first quarter, 12-6, two-point conversion, no good. Now we move to the second quarter here. Tommy Morneau showing what his legs are made of with a 28-yard run, ties it back up at 12 apiece in the first half in Bad Axe. Of course, they did have a little bit of a rain delay, a weather delay for about 30 minutes in this game. Later in the second, Marlette scores before the halftime bell and takes a 18-12 lead with a McGinnis 19-yard run. One interesting thing about this game, Marlette actually switched quarterbacks halfway through from Lentz, who actually started the game, to McGinnis, who finished the game. Now we switch to the third quarter. Jared Brown starts the scoring off for Bad Axe with a 48-yard run, ties it up at 18 apiece, and Dave Hansen now here. Dave, of course, is doing double duty, or triple, quadruple duty, whatever you like to call it here this weekend. It's the club championships. We're actually glad that Dave was actually able even to make it this weekend. How you doing today, Dave?
We're doing good, Clark.
It's
sorry
good.
About being tardy.
It's okay. You know, it's our first time on air here, and we're going to see how this all goes. Right now, we're discussing the Marlette Bad Axe game. Not sure how much of that you were able to see, but I'm looking more at the stats here from the Times Herald as well, so from the Bad Axe Hatchet Twitter feed. And this was a game that went back and forth, back and forth. I was going through right now the play-by-play here. Jared Brown with a 48-yard run ties it up at 18 apiece in the third quarter. But then Marlette responds again in the third. A lot of scoring in this third quarter in Bad Axe. McGinnis with a 16-yard run. Two-point conversion is good. So it's 26-18 Marlette. But then before the third quarter is over, Joe Amon scores on a 16-yard run. The two-point conversion is also good for Bad Axe. It's 26-26 with 4:01 left in the third. And we have a tie game after Bad Axe going 1-8 or 2-7. I can't remember exactly what they went last year. We'll have to take that look. But now let's move on to the fourth quarter here. Now Stover with a 10-yard run. The two-point conversion is good for Marlette. Takes it to 34-26 with 10 minutes and 39 seconds left in the game. A lot of time for Bad Axe to score. And that's exactly what they did. 4 minutes later, Tommy Morneau throws Jared Brown for 35 yards on the pass. But the two-point conversion, it falls incomplete. No good. 34-32. Marlette still leads with 6:43 left in the fourth, and nothing can get going. Marlette gets the ball back with about a minute left in the game. They kneel it out. I actually got to see the last 48 seconds of that game because our game was about the only game that had no delay in it, I feel, throughout the entire region. And Bad Axe falls short by 2 points. But, Dave, what do you see here? You start to see Bad Axe's offense start to evolve a little bit.
Well, you see the evolvement of Tommy Morneau. He really does it all on defense, offense, and especially at quarterback position, he's starting to throw the ball with more confidence. They have plenty of tailbacks, too. They can handle the ball. You know, you see Joe Amon taking the ball. Derek Brown's a guy that can handle the rock at any time. Emmerich's back in town. He's another guy that can handle the ball. So they have a lot of playmakers on offense. To me, Clark, scoring the ball isn't an issue for them. Yeah, the two-point conversion could have kept them in that game a little bit longer. The question is the defense going to be able to step up at a time of need? This game, not so much. But moving forward, that is my question for you. Is the defense going to be able to step up for Bad Axe? The point scoring actually is something that I don't really question that much.
With the Bad Axe defense, it's really hard to say. We saw Bad Axe three times. We've not been able to see Bad Axe play yet, but they do have some athletes. Emmerich, who moved away last season, he has not played yet this year because of MHS regulations, two games out. He should be back next week. We're not exactly sure. We'll have to get confirmation there. As Bad Axe is now on the road next week at Sandusky, who just comes off a loss here against Reese.
Yeah, and Reese is a team that is working on getting back to where they were last year. Lost a ton of players. Supposed to be a rebuilding year. If you talk to Reese, they'll tell you it's a reloading year. They're still plenty talented. We know Reese always brings it to the table. Sandusky, a team that won big. I think they won week one. Week two, fall to Reese. So Bad Axe, I'm not really sure how they're going to stand there, but it is very reassuring to see that they score 30-some points in their last week's game. They continue to score. They're going to continue to be a thorn in every game they play in just because of that.
As far as the stats for Bad Axe, they had 11 first downs, 32 plays rushing the ball for 213 yards. Tommy Morneau went 8 for 16 with one interception for 87 yards passing the ball, zero fumbles. But here's Dave, this might be the stat that can change the game. 11 penalties for 100 yards.
Clark, you know,
100 yards.
It don't matter what team it is. It don't matter what team you are. It don't matter what level of football you play. You give away 3 yards, 5, 10, doesn't matter at a time. You are going to shoot yourself in the foot, and that's exactly what that stat tells me right there. Bad X lost or gave away too many yards. If you run for 200 and you give 100 of it back in penalties, you just can't win games at that pace.
Rushing the ball, Brown had 4 carries for 75 yards and a touchdown. Tommy Morneau, 16 carries for 74 yards and 2 touchdowns. Joe Amon, 7 carries for 41 yards and a touchdown. McVay, 5 carries for 23 yards. Receiving the ball, Brown, his main receiver, 7 receptions for 78 yards and a touchdown. And Jandereski, 1 reception for 9 yards. So you're starting to see them pass around the ball, also getting both sides, the rushing and the passing. Last year when we saw Bad Axe, it was predominantly, let's see what Tommy Morneau can do and rely on him.
Yeah, they absolutely. But I absolutely love the spread offense. You see more and more teams at every level spread it out, throw it around, still run the ball effectively. That's what Bad Axe did this week. They run the ball very effectively. Tommy Morneau, pretty good through the air. Yeah, 50% completion percentage, not bad. I hope he continues to grow, because if you can throw the ball in this league, you will definitely be a team that is going to confuse defenses and not know what's coming next. It's like a pitcher having multiple pitches, Clark. If you don't know what's coming, you're going to be guessing. And if you're guessing, big plays are ahead for Bad Axe.
Speaking of pitching, anyone out there for the Detroit Tigers?
They'll take anybody right now.
Calling anyone right now. Of course, the strong side tonight is being presented by Moore Shoreline Chevrolet of Sebring, McDonald's Food and Family Center in Bad Axe, the Owendale Pub, and Dave Hansen and Clark Ramsey presented to you here tonight on our debut of our season, regular season Sunday at 7 show throughout the entire season. It's time to take a quick break. When we return, we'll check the weather and then interview Troy Schelke in a surprising game as Vassar falls to Harbor Beach 55-0. That's all coming up on The Strong Side, left side or right side. You're listening to The Strong Side.
What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks, or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
.735 on Sports Talk Radio, 102.1 FM. Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen on The Strong Side here. It's time to take a check of the weather. It's a beautiful weekend out there, wrapping it up right now. We've seen the humidity go away. It starts to feel like fall, and we have a beautiful evening here in Huron County. This weather update is being brought to you by Graff Chevrolet Buick. You're here to stay, Chevy and Buick dealer in Sandusky. For great vehicles, great incentives, and great selection, as well as great service, visit Graff Chevy Buick at M46 and Sandusky. After the break, we'll be listening in and talking to Troy Schelke of the Harbor Beach football program.
Pleasant weather through Tuesday with quite a bit of sunshine and comfortable temperatures. A strong cold front will bring showers and thunderstorms by Wednesday, and rather cool conditions to follow the front for the latter part of the week. Tonight, clear skies, temperatures down into the upper 40s, 0% chance of rain, light southerly winds. Monday, mostly sunny, high temperatures around 75. Wind southeast about 5 miles per hour, chance of rain 0%. Monday night, fair skies, lows in the low 50s, light southerly winds, chance of rain 0%. Tuesday, sunshine mixed with a few clouds, high 75 to 80. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 0%. Wednesday, increasing clouds with showers and thunderstorms developing, highs near 75. And quite a bit cooler behind that front with highs only 55 to 60 for Thursday and Friday. That's your latest forecast from WLEW Precision Weather Service. I'm meteorologist Steve Adamson.
At the premier truck dealer in the Thumb, Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, we join Keith, Brandon, and Sam.
At Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, we always have a great selection of Chevy Silverado and Duramax diesel pickups.
And at the right price, because trucks are what we do.
Right now, drive a 2014 Silverado double cab 4x4 for only $274 a month and save over $14,500 on 2014 Silverado HDs.
Shoot, we'll even double the value of your trade up to $4,000.
So stop into the premier truck dealer in the Thumb at Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky.
36-month, 30,000 GMBPP lease to qualified buyer. First month payment plus tax, title, license, and dock fees due at signing. Payment plus tax.
We got a lot of trucks.
You can say that again.
All that I can say was...
You're listening to The Strong Side on Sports Talk Radio 102.1 with Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen. Dave... You look a little sunburned. Is the club championship out there in ugly? That's not even a farmer's tan. That's just an ugly tan.
It's a golfer's tan, Clark. Good. I can't really help it. They got the V going, the farmer's tan on the arms. It is what it is.
Good thing you are on radio tonight, indeed. Right now we are being joined by Troy Schalke. Troy, how are you doing tonight? Troy Schalke, are you out there? We appear to have some technical difficulties. We'll try and get Troy Schalke on here in just a hot second on Sports Talk Radio 102.1. But in the meantime, Dave, let's take a look at this game for the Harbor Beach Pirates against the Vassar Vulcans. We saw a tight one in the JV game. JV actually fell to Vassar, Harbor Beach JV fell short by 2 points. But in the varsity game, it was anything but that, coming out 55-0. Troy Schalke, can you hear us out there? Well, we'll figure that out in a second here. Sorry about that, folks, tonight. As it's our, you can tell it's our debut of our weekly show here of The Strong Side. But let's take a look at the scoring here, I should say, for the Harbor Beach game. Just an absolutely insane game here. We have Harbor Beach held Vassar to 105 total yards throughout the game, 64 yards rushing the ball, 41 passing, and only 5 first downs over the course of 4 quarters. When you do that, it's a pretty simple game. Austin Selt, 7 carries for 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. Josh Schalke, the quarterback, 12 carries, 77 yards, 3 touchdowns rushing the ball. Devin Lemansky, 5 carries, 62 yards, 1 touchdown. Brandon Puff, 7 carries, 28 yards. Jacob Finkel, 9 carries, 49 yards. Chris Keys, 1 carry for 7 yards and 1 touchdown. And then Josh Schalke, 5 for 9 passing the ball for 101 yards and 1 touchdown. Receiving those passes, 3 receptions, Austin Seltz for 62 yards, and Chris Keys, 2 receptions, 39 yards, 1 touchdown. Not too bad there, Dave, eh?
Oh, man. We're talking 5 completions, and he's got over 100 yards passing, 25 yards per completion. The running game didn't sound like any of those guys averaged less than 4 or 5 yards a carry. So everything they did led to first downs, led to scoring. Sounds like they outmatched Vassar in every aspect of the game, whether it was passing the ball through the air, running the ball. It didn't matter who handled it. Complete and utter domination by Harbor Beach. And I don't mean to sound shocked. I knew Harbor Beach was going to be good, but very, very surprised that Vassar was shell-shocked the way they were. And maybe that's a testament of how good Harbor Beach is. Not only offensively, we knew they could score, but defensively, just stopping them and putting the ball in situations where Schalke and company were comfortable with the ball all game long.
We're now being joined by Troy Schalke. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Real good, Clark. Hi, Dave.
How you doing, Troy?
Excellent.
Sorry for the little bit of technical difficulty earlier on there, but talk about just an absolute surprise for everyone here, coming out and taking out what was believed to be one of the better teams in the Greater Thumb West. You take them out 55-0. We kept getting updates from the Ubley USA game, and it seemed like every time we looked at our phones, Harbor Beach had put up another touchdown.
Yeah, it was a good night for us overall. You know, we started a little bit slow offensively and then got it going, and defense was really dominant the whole night, so great defensive performance to hold Vassar to something like 105 yards. So very pleased with that, and you know, got our offense going as the night went on.
Was the weather any type of factor? I know that this game started in a 30-minute delay. What do you tell your kids there to just to keep the lion in the cage just for a little bit longer there?
Yeah, we talked about it before the game, before we left. We knew there was a chance for a delay, chance that we maybe even have to come back tomorrow. So we just wanted to be ready for anything, and we said we wanted to win the delay, and I think our players handled it well, and they were ready to go when we were getting ready to start, and the delay hit, and then they came out, and I think we were ready to play football.
Two touchdowns in the first quarter, four touchdowns in the second quarter, no scoring in the third, and then all of a sudden two more in the fourth. I presume we saw a lot of second strings getting a lot of action in this game.
Yeah, we did. You know, we only have 20 guys, and I think we had 19 available the other night. So, you know, when it got down to the end, we didn't really have many extra guys to put in. Most of those guys are contributors one way or another, so that was a little bit of a dilemma. But, yeah, we had one drive stall in the third quarter. They made a goal line stand, and so, you know, that gives us something to work on definitely. And, you know, watching the film, we did a lot of good things, but there's still definitely things we can improve on. So it's going to be a little bit different animal this week with Cass City. Hopefully we'll be able to make adjustments.
Troy, you mentioned some of those things you can improve on. I mean, 55-0. I mean, the defense pitches a shutout. The offense puts up 55 points. You pretty much run the table in a lot of games. What are some of those things you're going to work on this week to get just simply get better as a team?
Yeah, I think a big thing is overall consistency. You know, in the running game, we, you know, get 2 yards here, 3 yards there, then pop a big one. You know, I'd like to change those 2 and 3 yard gains into, you know, 5, 6, 7 yards, so we don't have to rely on the big play so much. So I think, you know, just coordinating everything between the line, the faking, and the back. Pass game in the rain was a little inconsistent, so I'd like to get, you know, that where it's a real weapon. We've hit some long passes, and I'd like to get the short passing game going a little bit too.
I completely agree. The short passes are going to help you down the stretch, especially on the third and mid-yard gains to get first downs. I love how you mix in the pass. The running game was very dominant. It was very easy for you to continue to run the ball in this situation, but you mix in some passes, give your son, actually, in this case, some opportunity to throw the ball even downfield. How did you feel about the passing game? 5 for 9, not bad, always room to improve. How did you feel about the passing game overall?
Yeah, it gave us some big plays, definitely, in fairly tough conditions. So, you know, I think teams are going to have to play us for the long pass. So, you know, when we do that, we do want to hit that underneath stuff and get our athletes out in space. So, you know, hopefully we'll keep improving in that area, and I think we will. And, you know, we want to be able to run the ball and pass the ball and be really tough to stop. So there's always things to work on.
Now eyes on to week number 3 here against Cass City next week in Harbor Beach, which will be your first home game of the season. Cass City this past week against Memphis put up 334 yards rushing and 110 passing yards against Memphis. How do you mitigate a strong offense like we saw against Cass City this week?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a real challenge for us. We've played two spread teams, and I think our personnel matches up the spread pretty well. So I'm real anxious to see how we can do against more of a power running team, a team that likes to trap and run some dives and so on. And then, you know, they have a real good quarterback, too, where they can mix in the pass. So whole different ball game, and I think a huge challenge for us.
Well, best of luck to you out there. That is actually the game of the week next week on WLW Sports. So tune in this Friday at 6:15 as pregame coverage begins with a 7 p.m. kickoff. Cass City traveling to Harbor Beach. Best of luck to you, Troy Schelke.
Thanks, guys.
That was Troy Schelke, the helmsman of the Harbor Beach program, once in his 18th year as the head coach. When we return, we'll be looking at the Lakers-Brown City games, as well as the Cass City-Memphis, and taking a look at all the other Reese Sandusky and anyone else in between there, as well as next week. In the next 15 minutes on The Strong Side on Sports Talk Radio 102.1.
Captain Eric Lawrence was training Afghan soldiers when his truck was hit by an IED.
I was on the way from Kandahar to Klot, hit an IED that just took the truck and threw it up in the air and slammed it on the ground. I knew at first that I got hurt pretty bad because I couldn't move my legs. I sat home alone for months. And I didn't want that anymore. I wanted to go back to work. I was hesitant at first, you know, because I didn't work for a good year. I want to be a productive person. I don't want to be a drain on society. I want to be a positive thing in society. PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
Helping veterans like Eric is what we've done for over 65 years. Paralyzed Veterans of America, paving access for veterans' employment through Operation PAVE. For more information, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
It's Chevy Truck Month at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 and Sebring. Drive to the shore and save more on a new 2014 or 2015 Chevy truck.
Hi, this is Rod Teese from Moore Shoreline and Sebring, wanting to tell you that leasing has never been better than now. And get a 2015 Silverado Heavy Duty Crew Cab 4x4 LT. Leather spray and bed liner, all-terrain tires, 6.0 V8 Vortec motor, heated seats, navigation, zero down, 36 months, 15,000 miles per year. For everyone, the price is $429 per month, and for gym employer family members, $397.
At Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring, where you'll find your new truck and find new roads.
Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side on Sports Talk Radio 102.1 with Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen here in our season debut of The Strong Side, our weekly one-hour show recapping all things high school football in the past week and looking on to the next week. We got a little shaky start here. Dave Hansen now back in studio, and it's much easier here. I felt like Rush Limbaugh for a hot second there, just talking to a microphone. But now we're good. Now let's take a look at a few other games that went on this past weekend. And one of those we mentioned just a few seconds ago, Cass City in Memphis. Cass City out to a 2-0 start, the first time in years that they've come out to 2-0, taking out Memphis 50-14. We knew Cass City had it, but 50-14 over Memphis, a much improved Memphis squad, and they put over 444 yards out there.
I think you hit it right on the head. Memphis, an improved team, expected to be a somewhat decent game for Cass City. Cass City, similarly to Ubley and similarly to Harbor Beach, come out and dominate a game where we anticipated some sort of competition. Good for them. Happy to see and looking forward to them next week taking on a big Harbor Beach team right now.
Both teams put up 50-plus points in this week. Cass City 50, Harbor Beach 55 in the Week 3 WLW Sports Game of the Week. Cass City traveling to Harbor Beach. Let's take a look how Cass City got their first quarter. Sawyer Cuthrell, 3-yard run, 8-0 with a 2-point conversion. Cass City scores again in the second quarter with Horn. 1-yard run, 16-0, 2-point conversion, good. Finally, Memphis gets on the board in the second quarter with Gillespie. A 51-yard run, 16-6. Second quarter, still, Cass City, Cuthrell finds the end zone again with a 17-yard run, 22-6. 2-point conversion, no good. Second quarter before halftime, Mason Earlow, the quarterback, airs it out to Stern, and Stern brings it in for a 22-yard pass to make it 30-6 at halftime. In the third quarter, actually, Memphis struck first, but that's all they had on a pass play, 47-yard pass to Mitchell, making it 30-14, but it was all Cass City from there forward. Third quarter, Mason Early catches up with Sawyer Cuthrell through the air for some sort of pass. I can't even read my own handwriting here. The two-point conversion, no good, 36-14. And then Sawyer Cuthrell with a 57-yard run, 42-14, and then Mason Erla decides he's sick of just passing off the ball, and he runs it in for 7 yards himself, making it 50-14 when all said and done. 37 plays rushing the ball for 334 yards, 110 passing yards, 4-for-8 for Erla, only one fumble, 0 penalties for the Cass City offense with 11 first downs. 0 penalties week number 2.
You love the discipline passed down by Coach Cuthrell. His son there, we know he can handle the ball. We know he can run it very, very well. The question mark come from Mason Erla, and I think he made a statement this weekend that he's here, he can throw it, he can run it. He makes good decisions with the football, and that will make Cass City offensively a challenge. The first probably major challenge, even though Vassar was supposed to be the first major challenge for Harbor Beach coming up this weekend.
Now let's take a look at what could be believed as the favorites in the Greater Thumb West, the Lakers, the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers. The Green Machine takes out the other green device, Brown City. Lakers 34, Brown City 7, in a game that went just straight Lakers the whole way. Brown City scored first in the first quarter, made it 7-0 off of a fumble return. But the rest of the way was all Lakers. Dustin Katie, 60-yard run, 7-6. Brown City still leads in the first. But then Dustin Katie passed it out to Seth Bowles for a 14-yard pass, making it 14-7 after a two-point conversion was good. Then we move on, no scoring in the second quarter. Move on to the third quarter. Dustin Katie to post for a 12-yard pass, makes it 20-7. Still in the third, Dustin Katie to Stork for a pass for a touchdown, 26-7. And the fourth quarter, Dubes runs it in for a 3-yard run, 34-7. Lakers take out the Brown City Green Devils, and Lakers off to a great start, as expected.
As expected, indeed. I mean, this team's got a lot of returning starters. Dustin Katie apparently filling in with no issues whatsoever. You got to love them attacking defenses through the air. You don't see that as much around this area, but when you do, it just throws other defenses off guard. Teams like Harbor Beach have done that for a couple years now. Lakers implementing that into their offense and excelling greatly, they're going to be very tough to beat.
Lakers 47 rushing plays for 255 yards. Passing the ball 4 for 13, no interceptions for 60 yards, 12 first downs. But here's another stat here, Dave, for you. 13 penalties for the Lakers for 130 yards.
Wow, there's what's going to hold that team back. They have to be disciplined. They have to understand what the coaches are bringing down on them. Yes, you have the talent. Yes, you can throw the ball. You can run the ball. But you cannot shoot yourself in the foot. Good teams will take advantage of those opportunities. Lakers needs to cut back on them, and they will be just fine.
And I think they learned their lesson on the first score of the night on that. They had three fumbles on the night. One was lost, which was returned for that 51-yard fumble return for the touchdown for Brown City's only score. So they did shut out Brown City's offense.
They absolutely did, and that gives the defense a high five there as they do a great job shutting that team out. However, you can't give away free yards, and you certainly can't give away free points turning the ball over.
They did win the turnover battle, though. Four fumbles for Brown City. Three of them went Lakers' way, and Brown City ended the night with only 7 first downs, 31 plays rushing the ball for 96 yards and 8 yards in passing. So the secondary of Lakers showing up yet again in a heavy senior, a lot of these kids have been on varsity for 3 years.
Yeah, an upperclassman-dominated team. And they should be showing that. However, again, I don't know what Brown City really has through the air. May have been in a situation where they had to pass and not comfortably, but still, Lakers showing that they can play good defense, they can score, they put up yards at will. It's a matter of will they shoot themselves in the foot with the penalties, and can they hang on to the football? That will determine their season going forward.
Katie for Lakers, 9 carries, 112 yards. Dubes, 21 carries, 108 yards. And Burgess for Brown City had 7 carries for 32 yards. So there's a majority of their offense right there for Brown City. One man. Passing the ball, KD 4 for 13 for 60 yards. Receiving it, Stork 1 reception for 19 yards. Bowles 2 receptions, 21 yards. And that's all she wrote for Lakers. So they're up and running as well on to week 3.
Yeah, 4 for 13, not necessarily an ideal passing percentage, but the plays that they did have went for scores, went for a decent number of yards. I think as Katie settles in, those completions will continue to come around. But as long as the running game is good and the defense is solid, they will be in every game moving forward.
And they are on the road next week as we take a look here now on to the next week. Lakers at Ubley. Let's take you through that one.
Oh, got to love what we've seen from Ubley this past week. We got a firsthand view of them putting up 30 points and shutting out the USA Patriots. USA definitely in a reloading type season, but Ubley getting a couple starters back from week one, missing two huge defensively. Logan Lemke back this week. Freddie Pallas clearly shut down the outside. Ubley looked a lot better on defense, Clark. They seemed to impress me. I'm not sure how you felt about it offensively.
I was the same way.
Absolutely. And offensively, I still knew that passing the ball was not a priority. They were going to continue to run the wing T, but that offensive line and defensive line looked so good this week. They're gonna put pressure on Lakers. We'll see how they handle up front in the trenches.
And not to mention, it's always tough to play at USA and then shut out USA at home.
Absolutely. They took the crowd out of it immediately. 5 yards a carry seemed to be what they were getting every time, and at will. It didn't matter if Welton was running the ball. It didn't matter if Brown ran the ball. And Rosenthal at fullback, They didn't know what was coming, and as soon as they thought they had something, Jeffrey Wright kept it himself, and it was 7-8 yards down the sideline untouched. They did what they pleased running the football.
All right, here's one for you, Dave. Bad Axe at Sandusky. A lot of unknowns in this game, a lot of offense.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about a coin toss here.
It might be a Pac-12 game.
Absolutely. I hope to see a lot of scoring. I liked what I seen from Bad Axe this weekend offensively, to be specific. You got to love what Tommy Morneau does. The more plays he gets under center, the better he looks. Some guys contributing. Brown, again, Emmerich, another big question mark. Is that guy going to come back and run the ball like we had seen a year or so ago? He was the main tailback there. Moved out of town, comes back into town, has to sit out a little bit. You got to think he's excited and ready to return to Bad Axe. Again, Brown, McVay's on offense there. Amon, we've seen in the scoring books now. A lot of options for Bad Axe offensively. I still come back to what we mentioned earlier. Can they stop somebody, Clark? Can they force turnovers? Can they force punts, punting situations, long fourth downs, and make stands? That is my question. Can they stop the ball and give that back to Morneau in that offense? They can score points when they need to.
The $64,000 question for you, Dave. Brown City is at USA. Can USA get their first victory this week?
You know what, Clark? I think there's some signs of growth there for USA, but they got to protect the quarterback and open some holes for the running game. Going to be a challenge this week again. Brown City in a struggle of their own. Going to be a battle again, Clark. It's a good question. Ask me that on Friday, and I'll have an answer for you.
By about 10 p.m., would you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, all right.
I'll have the right answer at that time.
And, of course, our game of the week here on WW Sports, Cassidy at Harbor Beach. Should be a good one. We have two high-profile offenses coming at each other here. Harbor Beach's first home game of the season. Cassidy coming in hot 2-0 for the first time in over 4 years. And here they are meeting the gridiron on the east side.
I'd love to get excited about this game, Clark, but I just can't. Harbor Beach looking so good right now and coming home. I don't see any sort of stumbling right now. Cassidy looks good. We thought Vassar would give Harbor Beach some sort of a game of any sort of way. They dominated that game from beginning to end, even through the lightning delay. They apparently dominated that as well. Cass City, I'm hoping, brings the same type of skill that we've seen, we've expected in the preseason. They brought it so far. I hope that they will play better. But Harbor Beach right now looks so good. I like them looking forward in this week.
I just like to point one thing out here. In the second quarter, Harbor Beach scored 3 times in a minute 42. With 1:42 left before halftime, 46 seconds before halftime, and 7 seconds before halftime. One of those was set up by Dalton Oakey, who's a 6'7" defensive end for Harbor Beach. Was the first time playing for Harbor Beach this week, and he went up for a tip pass. Instead, he brought down for an interception. One-handed.
Oh, man, that shows the athleticism. 6'7". Has that ability and the hand coordination to bring down that tip pass. He is going to be a force for them. But, again, that shows how fast this offense could put up points. You brought up the state, Michigan State-Oregon game. They are so fast. They can score at any time. Don't blink because they can put up 14, 21 points in this case. A minute and a half later, 21 points. I don't think Vassar knew what hit him.
Well, if you're going to do anything this week, folks, be sure to tune in on Friday for the WLW Sports Game of the Week. Cassidy at Bad Axe pregame starts at 6:15 with kickoff at 7 p.m. Clark Ramsey, Dave Hansen, Kayla Carson, and Doug Cole back in the booth with you for that one, your broadcast team this week. And if you're going to do anything this week, please go to church and pray for the Big Ten. We need your help. So on behalf of the entire staff at WLW Sports, back in the studio pushing all the buttons, that's Eddie Fury. Our sponsors tonight's show, Moore Shoreline of Sebring, McDowell Student Family Center of Bad Axe, and the Owendale Pub. Thank you for sponsoring and thank you for listening to the WLW Sports presentation of The Strong Side with Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen. We'll see you next Sunday at 7 p.m. Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying WLEW's Nonstop Power Cruise. We're currently cruising at an altitude of 50,000 feet and climbing. If you look to your left and a little bit behind, you'll see everyone we're leaving in the dust.
Cruise 102.1.
Declaring air superiority over the thumb.
WLEW FM.